fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis here with Dan Dugan, who's a little bit country. Well, I am a lot rock and roll.
You're a whole lot of rock and roll, eh? Detroit Motor City rock and roll.
Kick out the jams,
yeah,
brothers and sisters.
As if there's no other band in the world that really matters. Well, the Stooges, I guess.
Oh,
two
you're
bands
right.
In the world matter.
You know the Stooges matter.
That's what we find on the other side of the news here on WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
That's right, and we hired Dan Dugan because he said, I want to be a dog.
I want to be your dog. Let's be specific on that, Bob. Don't mix up your articles. So there's an article in the news. Cleveland water is being compared to your home state of Flint's water, the city in from your home state.
That's right, where my grandfather lived, and I spent a little time in my youth.
And that was apparently just recent news that Cleveland's water is that bad. So how does that portend for the people on the North Shore?
I think the problem is that a lot of this infrastructure, a lot of these great industrial cities, and usually I don't call Cleveland a great industrial city, but of course
really?
It was great Midwest industrial city.
Yes.
You know, Detroit, Cleveland, mm-hmm. even Toledo, a lot of them were very wealthy. A lot of that infrastructure was built during industrialization,
right.
From 1877 right. to 1920, and a lot of it has been rotting since then. The infrastructure, the pipes, a lot of this stuff is no longer functioning well. And we really haven't done much infrastructure development in the U.S., you know, since Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, Eisenhower built a freeway.
Well, so. Yeah, he did that because of the bomb and also led to the growth of the suburban areas. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these industrial centers, Detroit, Flint, you know, an auto city there.
Right.
A lot of them with lead problems and,
sure.
you know, a lot of the old iron pipes collapsing and just bad sewers, et cetera. And we got to make sure that all of that gets tested.
Well, it wasn't that long ago the Cuyahoga River was flammable.
Which gave us a good beer, Burning River beer.
And
I think that's Great Lakes Brewery.
Yes, it's a fine pale ale. But also a great song by Randy Newman, but nonetheless, so we've known for a long time that the water wasn't great, but this is sort of, you know, suddenly in our faces. Should this impact back on just the local government of Cleveland, or does
no,
the state have to step in?
No, the Great Lakes is an entire water system, and it's compounded, of course, by the problems in Toledo with the drinking water. So now we have the two largest cities in Ohio on the Great Lakes, Toledo and Cleveland, both with water problems. And again, that being one of the largest sources of fresh water on Earth, we need to take a comprehensive approach to it. And one of the key things is, you know, Cleveland's not in the financial situation to rebuild its own infrastructure. It's going to need
right.
a little
Absolutely.
Help from the state.
Sure.
In a just society, the federal government, maybe we could skip the wall
a
thing.
What society? I'm sorry, I missed that again. Yeah, just society.
A just society.
Yeah, in a just society.
Maybe we could skip the wall thing and rebuild
the... Skip the wall?
Rebuild the infrastructure of Cleveland.
Skip the wall? We can't skip the wall. Come on now.
Well, let's call
it
a barrier.
It's only $5.7 billion. What a deal. What a deal for the steel curtain to be built. Well, since you brought up the wall, why don't we discuss what's been going on with the wall or the barrier or the southern border? Actually, Trump called it a physical powerful, beautiful southern border wall. And then indicated he
which
knows
he has
more
a,
about the wall
which
technology.
Which he has a groovy kind of love for. But, if you listen to his words, you just know he's got a groovy kind of love for a barrier. Let's be fair. Let's call it a barrier.
Right. But a barrier. Okay. The great, beautiful southern barrier.
Yes.
But again, I prefer steel curtain. Although I heard recently that some druggies in Mexico had driven right through one of the steel walls that are down there. So don't know if it works or not in the modern era. And plus, there's called these things called tunnels. You can go under it. But two bills were turned down in the Senate, the U.S. Senate. And so that puts Mr. Trump back up against the wall.
Or the barrier. And all in all, if you think about it, he's just another ass in the wall.
Ah, I think you're right. And I still think that Pink Floyd should play the wall down there and maybe as a benefit for it. But in the meantime, because these two bills go down, it's back to the drawing board. They're saying, though, that this has started some negotiations. Could be something this weekend.
Well, considering there were no negotiations.
Right.
This is the first movement. And, of course, it took arrests at Mitch McConnell's office, Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority leader in the Senate.
Slow-moving.
Who will go down as one of the worst politicians in U.S. history. This is Mitch's legacy. So it's the only thing that's sustaining me. He'll go down as an incompetent butt kisser to an irrational president.
Megalomaniac. Yeah. Right. But in the meantime, through most of this, you're right, McConnell, obviously he thought the Senate might be able to get it done. Of course, they probably just brought these bills up just for show to make it look like they're doing something. But mostly McConnell just hid in his shell, right?
Right.
And stayed out of the
and back Trump.
Fracas.
Yeah. Even though he knows Trump is irrational, I mean, now you've got his former chief of staff, Kelly, writing letters saying you're putting the security of the U.S. At risk with other generals
right.
and other leading intelligence sources. So when your former chief of staff essentially says that you're putting the U.S. at risk because of terrorism, counterterrorism, activities that aren't being performed anymore by the federal government.
Right.
At what point do you back the president?
And you've got airplanes flying. Maybe we could be seeing ridiculous mishaps because the traffic controllers are out. So yeah, all of this is security, right?
Right. And there's no indication any data that suggests there was any threat on our southern border. There's a ton of it that says, yeah, there's a threat in the cargo containers coming in. But mm-hmm. those come in at legal ports. They're custom sealed. We just choose not to look inside that, Mr. Dugan. Now, if you were looking, say, for drugs or arms,
I don't know if I did.
Would you be looking up the anus of a poor immigrant from Guatemala?
Yeah.
Or would you be looking at an incredibly large container?
Well, Trump
custom
said
sealed from China. Where's the fentanyl? Are you really going to look in the rectum of desperate immigrants? Are you going to look in the containers, which they're not searching?
The big Don was saying
this is
also
one of the biggest jokes in history.
He was saying they hide it behind the duct tape in their back seats. Yeah, you know.
Well, he knows he's been in the,
he duct taped
his attorney Cohen and threatened his family in the back seat.
Yeah, right.
Representative Cummings, right, Elijah Cummings said, issued that statement saying this is a mob tactic. So
right.
You got a president out there seeking to intimidate his attorney so he doesn't testify before Congress. You got his chief of staff warning him about security, and you got this guy, Mitch McConnell, who, needs to be tested for competency.
Yeah.
Who is backing Trump. Makes no sense. I mean, Trump
leading
the Republican Party to disaster.
What danger? Because, that was, yes, Cohen said that he didn't want to testify because he's been threatened by Trump and his family's been threatened. In what way are they threatened?
Well, it sounds like they're threatening to release information regarding his father-in-law.
Father-in-law, that's what I thought.
From the Ukraine
right.
who is thought to have, we would call them perhaps organized crime connections.
Perhaps.
Or,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but I'm trying to figure out how in the hell Trump, you know, who's a money launderer for the Russian mob.
Right. Yeah.
Would have the gall to, you know, squeal on Cohen's father.
And perhaps an agent, no less, right? Yeah. Sure. He's going to fight fire with fire. You know, takes one to know one.
And again, the notion of, I think it's right, Dad. These are old mob tactics, right? We'll out you, we'll threaten you, we'll
right.
scare you right. regarding your family. I mean, but it makes sense. He's a developer out of New York, right? And Dylan sang about it. We've talked about his father, right? The Trumps have had a long history with ties to organized crime, as
sure.
Most major developers in the New York area
right.
have that. And
mm-hmm.
he graduated to the, you know, kind of Russian mob as well, and has gone worldwide.
Well, there you go. So in the meantime, Cohen has been subpoenaed to testify in front of the Senate as originally scheduled. Is that what it
is? Well, I don't know if they've issued the subpoenas yet, but it looks like they intend to. He had agreed to come in voluntarily, and then Trump began making all this noise about his father-in-law and his family, which think about this. This is like The Godfather Part 4, right? The developer, the
yeah.
orange-haired developer with the raccoon eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to see a scene in the White House with a large cake of the United States and the world. You know, here's Azerbaijan, here's parts of Moscow, here's the Middle East. You know, it's Jimmy the Weasel.
Well, in the meantime, you
get the Azerbaijani,
yeah.
you get the casino there.
Yeah, we'll split this up, right, yeah. Sure, sure.
And isn't it great to have that great line? Isn't it great to have a government that understands business?
Business, absolutely. Well, in the meantime, though, he can act tough, and he's believed to be, you know, a gangster, but he sure has caved with Nancy Pelosi. Nancy, who he calls Nancy, which is, I guess, to put her in her place or something.
That's
anyway,
right.
So she had rescinded the offer, or as it is an invitation by the Speaker of the House for him to perform the State of the Union. So he talked about moving it elsewhere, but then he caved.
Well, because
he's a tough guy,
he
yeah.
didn't know his history when he first was moving forward, right?
And
what she did to him is, she gave him the original Washington. She
mm-hmm.
she gave him a George Washington. First time Washington shows up at the House of Representatives, they lock the door on him.
Right.
They won't let him in because it's like they saw themselves as a parliament,
so,
where the real power was, and they saw the president, because the federal government was quite small then, as an errand boy, as an administrator. They didn't even give him any money for a secretary. He had to pay for a secretary
right.
out of his pocket.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So Trump, the tradition is you have to be invited by the speaker.
Right.
And she invited him, and then wisely, she disinvited him because
right.
the government shut down.
Shut down, and there's no sense right. in it. Right. So, well, and maybe they pull off a last-minute deal and we have the State of the Union on Tuesday as scheduled. Who knows, right?
Well, yeah.
More will be revealed.
Maybe it'll happen. But really, the modern State of the Union was created by Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson.
Yes.
One of our first political scientists who wrote two books I proudly have in my library. One on the Congress and one on the executive branch. And this is
WGRN in Columbus, Ohio. This is the other side of the news. We're also on WCRS. So
WGRN is 94.1.
Right. And CRS 98.3 and 92.7. Yes, indeed.
92.7.
And Woodrow Wilson actually gave his speech about the League of Nations, right, down at Franklin Park. Did you know that, sir?
Oh, I did know that General Sherman gave his famous War is Hell speech.
There you go.
Which he didn't say war is hell. He said all war
mm-hmm.
is hell. So there's actually, when you're walking around the park, there's a little plaque there.
There you go.
And General Sherman, his famed March to the Sea, mm-hmm. and of course, Gone with the Wind.
There you go.
Using tactics that really hadn't been seen since, you know, Genghis Khan.
Yeah,
where essentially
wrapped it up in a bow. And,
yeah.
Wrapped it up in a bow and presented it to Lincoln for a Christmas present. As a matter of fact, yeah, right. Show him what the real war is about. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. So I'm sorry, we're talking about Woodrow Wilson and his
Woodrow Wilson was one of the first modern political scientists.
Uh-huh.
He was at Princeton.
Ivy. Yes. Uh-huh.
And a little irony of history, one of his students, Norman Thomas, the great socialist leader, ran six times for president, was valedictorian at Princeton. But Wilson went on to be, of course, the president at Princeton. And then was became governor of New Jersey, since Princeton's in New Jersey, and then went on to become president. And in 1916, ran against the president of Harvard.
Okay.
So this is when the Ivy League rivalries were tough.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also a period, the Progressive Era, when it was thought you actually should know something about public policy.
Really?
Unlike what, you
Go
know,
figure.
The know-nothing, the neo-know-nothing era we're in right now.
Yeah,
and we've got the you know descendant
know
of right. Millard Fillmore, the new Millard Fillmore.
So again, how is Wilson again the father of modern government? I'm sorry.
He writes a book on the executive branch, and he says you know the president can have more power if you know he exerts more emphasis over public policy, and one way to do that would be through a formalized State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no tradition of a formalized.
Right.
Some presidents came over and talked, others sent reports, but he envisioned this modern address where the president would emerge while at the Congress.
And radio had appeared on the scene, right?
He's emerging as the chief legislator,
yeah.
right? He's spelling out his agenda. So Wilson began doing that, when he was president, and it carried through. But then, of course, there was a huge, huge shift with Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan is sort of the modern State of the Union address. Reagan is the guy who kind of
a political rally.
Yeah, exactly.
Or try to.
Right, yeah, you stage this political event. And,
yeah, right.
You know, the State of the Union is strong.
Strong. Sorry.
I mean, we could all be dying.
Failed that test.
There could be a mass epidemic with millions of people dying,
right.
And the State of the Union would be
strong. Yeah, of course,
precisely.
Right now it's shut down, so we're not going to see it. But
if you go back and look at some of the stuff from the 70s, the last two guys who didn't use that formula both lost re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Gerry Ford, who was very honest on double-digit inflation.
Right.
Right? He's like actually
told
talking.
Told it like it really was.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Which bummed people out. And Jimmy Carter, the same thing. But Reagan came in, and it was strong every year. And not only that, up in the gallery is Joe from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who saved a young child
from a
swimming pool.
Right.
Who learned CPR on his own. Can you wave, Joe?
yeah, good old Joe. Well, I was going to make the point, though, about Woodrow Wilson. He was not very popular with women because
What about the black sergeant over there?
There you go. He mistakenly opposed the women's right to vote. And women's rights are continuing.
And he was thought to be a racist. He was Birth of a Nation. He screened at the White House and said it was, quote, history writ in lightning. So he was really, and he put Eugene Victor Debs in jail for, 10 years and wouldn't let him out. Thank God they liquored up Warren G. Harding, pardoned him and brought him to the White House for lunch.
Well, my point, there you go. We've gotten Eugene Debs into another show. That's wonderful. But my
and
point
was Harding's paper boy. Harding was from
Marion, Ohio.
The Marion Star. Mm-hmm. Who was his paper boy? Norman Thomas.
It's a small world after all. Do we have to pay Disney every time we say that? Yeah, I was just going to say, though, that women's rights continue to be a struggle. We now have this midget in the State House who's probably going to back this heartbeat bill that was vetoed by his predecessor. And I was wondering if you felt that this was a chance for the women in Ohio to stand up and speak to this power, or do you think they'll get their heartbeat bill through, which essentially is like a 6 weeks, and you no longer can get an abortion, a safe abortion.
From what DeWine said, and particularly what John Husted said as lieutenant governor, right? They're pro-children, right? That whole rhetoric about, protecting unborn children is it looks like it'll go through, but the Supreme Court has already ruled on the constitutionality of this.
There you go.
And Roe v. Wade and,
right.
And the Webster and other cases. So, I mean, what they'll be doing is passing a clearly unconstitutional bill, which doesn't
just
surprise
to grandstand.
Me. Yes, sure.
Okay. All right.
And of course, DeWine.
But it won't take effect because.
I like to remind history.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
I think DeWine will. His big contribution is when he fell asleep during Iran-Contra. And so here you had one of the great scandals in U.S. history.
Oh, go on.
In the Iran-Contra. Let's steal some arms and sell them to the Ayatollah. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take the money and fund the Contras who are selling crack in American inner cities.
Right.
And meanwhile, Mike DeWine's asleep at the committee hearing on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a guy.
But by God, he'll be there for that heartbeat, Bill.
Yeah, he'll be there to sign it.
I'm more worried about his cognitive activity.
A Christian
some sort
warrior.
Of scan. We should see how much he's got left up there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there you go. We'll be looking forward to Mr. DeWine's reign. In the meantime.
Or as he was known in the heyday when he fled the state, DeWeenie.
DeWeenie.
That's Joe Gilliard.
I like that.
Who worked in the cabinet of Voinovich and who was a key aide to DeWine, called him DeWeenie, Gilliard wrote that famous memo saying, I'm being squeezed by Paulie Voinovich and Paul Mifsud,
right.
The governor's chief of staff, and his brother. They're shaking me down for money. And I wrote this to Mike DeWine. And what did DeWine do? Said he never got the memo, and then later said that
he
misplaced the copy, and it was in his desk in his summer house.
Wow.
Meanwhile, they're firing Joe Gilliard, and they're getting him prosecuted, and he's exonerated, and then the inspector general of the state says the ones that should be in. Under scrutiny should be the Voinovich family for building all these jails. I mean, the V company. You don't know it's V stands for Voinovich.
Aha, right. Well, there's always a way to make a buck in politics, right?
Chicken, afraid of the Voiniviches.
No kidding.
In the same way Cohen was afraid of Trump.
Yeah, he sure is. He seems to be very afraid.
Like the mob.
But again, they're going to make him testify as it is, right?
Let's hope so. Let's hope they issue us. But he's going off. The big question is, can he hide in prison? Because once he's in prison, nothing. Will he be released from prison to go to Congress to testify?
Right. So, I guess more will be revealed on that. In the meantime, we were also going to mention that Sherrod Brown is bringing legislation to examine the Iraq and Afghanistan soldiers being housed near burn pits and coming back with medical aberrations with situations that need to be investigated, our heroes as they get called. So anyway, we just wanted to mention Sherrod Brown. Do you think he has a fair chance at the presidency?
Well, there's so many people in the race. Who knows? He could emerge in the same way. Remember, Trump emerged early on. Trump had 2%, 4%. There were 17 people running. Trump was just this weird orange-haired reality TV personality.
Right, who was just trying to get a salary raise.
Right, yeah.
Well, but Sherrod Brown would be a serious candidate, but nonetheless.
But the field's going to be – I mean, they're projecting maybe 30 people getting in the race. 30 people getting in the race. But Sherrod Brown seems like he'd be a serious contender.
Right.
George Will likes him, even though Will's usually conservative on the right. Mm-hmm. He refers to the Sherrod Brown's muscular progressivism.
Muscular progressivism, right.
So I like the concept of Sherrod Brown as Popeye, kind of flexing a little labor muscle here, the people, populist muscle there.
Yeah, okay. A little bit of Popeye. In the meantime, well, we might as well discuss the upcoming...
Olive oil.
Olive oil?
No, I thought you were going to say that.
Well, we loved her, right?
Right.
The boys fought over her. I don't know why we're going there, but nonetheless, there is a presidential election way far away.
The clean-shaven man, when she kept singing, she wanted a clean-shaven man, and in the end, she's with whatever his name is.
And Barnacle Bill the Sailor.
Now, who is the big Pluto?
Pluto, of course, who was also Brutus. We were never quite sure which his name was.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Brutus or Bluto. I always got confused on that. Nonetheless, we will be confused by the number of Democratic candidates for presidency.
Including Brutus and Pluto.
We also have Elizabeth Warren, who is, I believe, maybe a candidate who people should look at as competence over charisma. They say that, and Kamala Harris seems to be lots of charisma and competence, although I don't know how you feel about prosecuting attorneys, Bob.
Well, generally, I get along with them as long as they're not prosecuting me. And I like them
otherwise,
even better if they want to prosecute.
Otherwise, it's just another day
the
at the office. And if you happen to be defending someone, you don't take it personally, of course, right?
Well, I've run into some nasty, particularly at the city attorney's office in Columbus. I was once barred from coming up there because I came in and said, look, this guy's innocent. Here's the proof. And it's like... And if you meet a lot of these prosecutors, they want them to plead guilty to something anyway. Even if you're sitting there showing them proof.
How dare you?
They're innocent. It's like,
right?
Look, my record, I need 100% conviction.
And you were told you were not allowed to come back?
I was barred from coming up in that area because I mentioned the term prosecutory misconduct. It's like, if you know this guy's innocent,
you got
to release him.
Right.
That's prosecutory misconduct. So they get really
because you alluded to
out.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
And I wouldn't allude to it unless she was doing it.
And so for how long did this continue? Was this situation?
I don't know. That was under the
time,
last city attorney in Columbus. Maybe I got a pass now.
Right.
Maybe Zach
You're
Klein's my
back.
Friend now, and I'm allowed to go back in that
troublemaker.
That office. And
I've seen footage lately of you being hauled away by the police. As a matter of fact, some of the tapes that are being transferred down here at the radio station. And so you
were we on friendly terms when I was being hauled away?
You were yelling something at someone as you were being hauled away, so I didn't know exactly
was
what
it
that
FOP FOP.
I do know that when I was supposed to be guarding you up at OSU last year, it was almost like you couldn't get arrested. No matter
I know.
What.
I think I'm like an
unless you start yelling at Michigan.
Now I'm an aging icon. It's like,
long in the tooth. They didn't care. Yeah. They even sent the horses away.
Bob Bob Gum's
We were
back.
That ineffective.
Get off my calf, Bob. Quit gumming it.
Send the horses back to the fort.
Making
we don't need them.
It all wet. Bring a pony out. Bob's here.
Bob's here. Get him a horse.
Get a llama.
Ride him out. All right. We're going to ride out of here on the other side of the news with Dan Dugan, Dr. Bob Fitrakis. WGRN and WCRS. Thanks for listening.
The Green Renaissance. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.